From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Heavily armed riot police are patrolling the central square in Bahrain's capital after rousting thousands of anti-government demonstrators who were sleeping there and lobbing tear gas and concussion grenades to clear them out. Medical authorities say at least four people were killed and scores of others were injured as people rushed to get away when police waded into the crowd. New York Times reporter Michael Slackman was nearby at the time and says the scene was frightening.
We ran down to try to see what was happening. We got right up to the square and were absolutely overwhelmed by tear gas. It was funny because it was invisible, so I'm not sure what kind of gas they were using. But I was maybe, you know, a block away from the center of the square, and I had to retreat. People around me were all throwing up. Their eyes were tearing. I can only imagine what it was like in the square.
New York Times reporter Michael Slackman in Bahrain. Bahrain's army says it's now in control of key parts of the capital, and any further protests are banned. The Labor Department says consumer prices rose 0.4% last month, fueled by a big jump in gasoline and food prices. But excluding the volatile energy and food categories, the so-called core rate of inflation increased only half that amount. The core rate of inflation is currently running at an annual pace of 1%. In another report out this morning, the Labor Department says first-time claims for unemployment benefits have risen, increasing 6% last week. Israel's armed forces have shot and killed three Palestinian men. NPR's Philip Reeves says the incident occurred along Israel's tense border with the Gaza Strip.
A Palestinian official for Gaza's health ministry says the three men were wearing civilian clothes when they were shot before dawn. They were close to the fence between Israel and the enclosed Gaza Strip, which is under an Israeli blockade. Israel's armed forces say the three men that they shot were militants attempting to plant bombs near the fence in the northern Gaza Strip. They also claim Palestinian militants use civilians as a cover for their activities. These include firing rockets into Israel and attempting to kidnap Israeli soldiers. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Jerusalem.
President Obama meets this morning with a bipartisan group of lawmakers at the White House to discuss reauthorization of the No Child Left Behind law. Later today, the president flies to California. NPR's Carol Van Dam reports he'll be meeting with business leaders in technology there.
President Obama will meet today with top executives in San Francisco, including Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, to talk about technology and innovation. Tomorrow, Mr. Obama will travel to Hillsboro, Oregon, where he will tour Intel's semiconductor manufacturing facility and learn about programs Intel offers to encourage studies in science, technology, and engineering. Mr. Obama insists a better educated workforce will attract jobs and help American companies compete globally. The president has been meeting with business leaders around the country to discuss ways to expand the economy and create jobs. Carol Van Dam, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. Schools are closed across Wisconsin today as thousands of teachers descend on the state capitol building to protest an aggressive anti-union bill that would take away their bargaining rights. Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson reports the bill cleared its first legislative hurdle late last night.
The state's teachers union was careful not to call for an all-out strike, but Wisconsin Education Association Council President Mary Bell urged her members to visit the capitol if they were able. Bell's union is trying to derail a plan by freshman Republican Governor Scott Walker that would strip all public workers of their right to bargain over health care and pension benefits.
I believe that the voices of Wisconsinites here in Madison will help that cause along.
Republicans insist the plan is more about bringing public sector benefits in line with the private sector. The state Senate is expected to debate the plan later this morning. For NPR News, I'm Sean Johnson in Madison.
The world's largest collection of vintage toys and trains is being sold at a sale brokered by the Sotheby's Auction House in New York City. The collection includes 35,000 items and is valued in the tens of millions of dollars. There are so many toys that just a fraction of the collection fills an entire floor at Sotheby's. And who might be interested in buying? Well, David Redden is vice president of Sotheby's.
The kinds of people who have been through this exhibition, some of our most important painting collectors, impressionist paintings, old master painting collectors, have fallen in love with this. They've been enraptured with this collection.
Redden says the toys date from 1850 to 1940 and include some rare and handmade items. A Philadelphia man assembled the collection over the years, and he says he hopes it will end up on public display in a museum. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington. Support.